stand in the way of love, and we will smoke them all with an intellect and a savoir faire. No one in the whole universe will ever compare. I am yours now, and you are mine, and together we'll love through all space and time. So don't cry, one day all seven will die. I saw an angel coming down unto me. In her hand she holds the very key. Words of compassion, words of peace. And in the distance an army's marching feet. But behold, watch them fall. And we lay down on the sand of the sea. Before us animosity will stand and decree that we speak not of love. Six others will curse me. That's all right, for I will watch them fall. We will see a plague and a river of blood. Surely die in spite of, and seven tears. But do not fear, for in the distance, 12 souls from now, you and me will still be here. We will still be. There'll be a new city with streets of gold. The young so educated, they never grow old. And there'll be no death, for with every breath, a voice of many colors sings a song that's so they stand in the way of love, and we will smoke them all with an intellect and a savoir faire. No one in the whole universe will ever compare. I am yours now, and you are mine. And to
Welcome, listener, to episode 8 of the Antigen Internet Radio podcast. That was self-described cow-munching Bible fucker Dorian Wood from the land of California with Seven, a song you might recognise as a Prince track, one of a trio of great singles from his unpronounceable Symbol album, released in 1992. That cover of Seven is the aptly apocalyptic opening track from Ardor, one of two albums released by Dorian this year, both of which are available digitally from their Bandcamp page. I urge you to enrich your life in lockdown by delving into the depths of Dorian's back catalogue at the earliest opportunity. Here in the UK, we're looking forward to our first Christmas freed from the federalist yoke of the European Union. As a new golden age of prosperity beckons, we close our borders and block our motorways to prevent the foreign food and medicine from spoiling this long overdue celebration of British sovereignty. Nurses and doctors around the country rejoice. £350 million a week floods into the coffers of the NHS from the Brexit premium, and we can finally take back control of Christmas. With no EEA regulations forcing us to erect a Norwegian spruce in our living rooms, we can make our own British Christmas trees by hanging bits of Baco foil from the spokes of a broken umbrella. But do not be alarmed. This is not a Christmas show. Nor is it a lazily compiled end-of-year review show full of clips of celebrity humiliation and public figures recorded in January saying how great it's going to be in 2020, while Charlie Brooker berates them in a sarcastic voice for their inability to predict the future. Because now, as we come to the end of the year, no one wants to look back on 2020, not even Charlie Brooker. Not since he lost the scriptwriting team that made him funny. Instead, this episode has been compiled from material too weak or too niche to feature in earlier episodes. Speaking of which, I feel I ought to apologise for the last podcast, which was entirely devoted to the niche interest subject of my local Conservative MP, Tom Hunt. Part Irish, comedy-loving immigrant Tom Hunt of the Countryside Alliance. This lapse in editorial judgment appeared to drive away much of the podcast's audience. It also prompted some interesting feedback from one listener, who said I might have gone a bit too far talking about Tom Hunt's disability. For the avoidance of doubt, the last podcast was an attempt at comedy satire. Those weren't my actual views, and even the ones that were, like my opinion of Tom Hunt as a politician and as a person, those views were exaggerated in the podcast for satirical effect. That's the great thing about satire. You can take it on so many levels. You can take it literally, like my listeners, and for example, enjoy Animal Farm as a crazy farmyard caper about pigs who smoke cigars. Or you can read it as an allegory for the Russian Revolution and the betrayal of its revolutionary principles under the dictatorship of Stalin, like everyone else does. The beauty of satire is there's something in it for everybody.
Bumps in the cockpit, locksmith a hip hop appraisal that wristwatch. The rocks about the size of the teeth of Chris Rock's mouth. Psych out the
I've been listening to a lot of Danny Brown over the last month, mainly his classic Triple X album. As the audience of this podcast isn't exclusively made up of 15-year-old boys, I decided not to pick a track from that one. Instead, that was Ain't It Funny from the claustrophobic masterpiece Atrocity Exhibition, released on Warp in 2016. So, to clear things up, and because I always find explaining jokes makes them a lot funnier, when I said in the last podcast that I spent 49p on a used copy of Little Britain from Amazon, watched it, and discovered that disabled people are hilarious. First off, I didn't actually do that. I do not own Little Britain on DVD. The availability of the internet and the human brain's ability to remember things a person has seen or heard in the past allowed me to harvest the raw material I needed for that piece without sending any more cash to pandemic boredom billionaire Jeff Bezos. So instead of buying the Little Britain DVD from Amazon, I typed in, is urinary incontinence funny? Into Ask Jeeves, and the smirking face of David Walliams appeared, dressed as an old lady. Because you see, David Walliams was in character when he was pretending to piss himself in the post office. So it was all right. We were laughing at a character wetting herself, not a real old lady emptying her bladder in a public place. It was a character. So much like David Walliams, I too was in character while I was recording the last podcast, pretending to be a crazy recluse, driven mad by isolation after 5.5 months of home working. And when I said disabled people, including Tom Hunt, are hilarious, I was actually pretending, saying something I didn't mean, with a presumption that the ever-dwindling audience of 40 listeners would know that I was referring back to Tom Hunt's speech in Parliament and his article in the Free Market Conservative blog, where he explained his passionate belief that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with people who still like Little Britain. But although I do think there's something fundamentally wrong with people who still like Little Britain, far from despising Tom Hunt, like so many people do on Twitter, I respect Tom Hunt because he can laugh at ableist comedy even though he has a disability himself, which is so brave.
Okay. I need the presence of God inside my flat.
Waiting so long to kill a hole onto myself now.
That was Groff with the track Kim from the Live at the Smokehouse compilation, which arrived in the post this week. The comp is a fundraiser for our favourite Ipswich venue, the Smokehouse. The CD's sold out, but you can download most of the tracks from Bandcamp. But not that one, it's a CD exclusive. Groff is a biological offspring of Dinghis Khan, with Josh Court, mercenary bassist for Cash, Tom Armstrong, and firm favourite with ladies of a certain age, the lovely Paul Miller. That track also featured Maisie Diving on keys and was recorded live at the Smokehouse in Ipswich. Like I said, no one wants to look back on 2020, not even with a snarky voiceover. It certainly wasn't as much fun as 2019, when lovable buffoon Boris Johnson scored a glorious victory over cardigan-wearing communism and wafted back into office on the stale fart of a small country's imperial nostalgia. We all look forward to Empire 2.0 and an oven-ready Brexit that would secure our rightful place as a world superpower. But now, 12 months on, Boris slumps in the Commons like a partially deflated bag of wind, a whoopee cushion all farted out, having blown the Tories' 26-point lead over Labour and found himself with a minus 24% personal approval rating. And in the death throes of a 4.5-year impasse over a trade deal with the EU, the Cabinet is trying once again to rally public support for a naval war with France over stealing our mackerel. It's difficult to pinpoint exactly when it started to go wrong for Boris, especially when most rational people can't comprehend how he got the job in the first place. But for me, it was back in September when Ed Miliband stood in for Keir Starmer and proved that although he was unfit to be Prime Minister because he once struggled to eat a bacon sandwich, he was perfectly capable of mauling the lifeless carcass of Boris Johnson in the debate over the Brexit deal. Personally, I never had a problem with the way Ed Miliband eats a bacon sandwich. It wasn't top of my list of voting priorities, even if it was helpfully for voters on the front page of The Sun on the day before the election. At least Ed Miliband awkwardly manipulates food into his mouth using his hands, rather than going face down in the trough like most of the Tory front bench and their mates. With the exception of Michael Gove, who I imagine feeds by vomiting digestive acid over rotting food waste, which he then sucks up using his retractable proboscis. And Priti Patel, who no longer requires human food, and is able to subsist entirely by devouring the souls of drowning children. We'll be right back.
expansion and a sharp decline. Here we stand on the border of another man. Yeah, here we stand on the edge of the keel, the dam.
That was Bad Amputee with Gwan Gaeto the Great. Apologies for the pronunciation. Gwan Gaeto was apparently a king of the Goguryeo kingdom, which ruled northern Korea during the Three Kingdoms period. Bad Amputee described themselves prosaically on Facebook as a guitar band from Newcastle. I don't know much about them, except that Phil from Cath and Phil Tyler is in them, and that track was from their Convenience Kills album, which is available on their Bandcamp page. Sadly, people in the UK will soon be unable to take solace in the one positive that sustained us over the last year. But at least we don't have the world's most embarrassing political leader. Yep, that small comfort will soon come to an end. Joe Biden has won the US election, securing nearly 7 million more votes than Trump. For some, this has been cheering news in an otherwise disappointing year. Even Donald Trump can take something positive from the result, assuming he acknowledges it at some point. He can be heartened by the fact that behaving like a petulant adult baby for 4 years has resonated with the American public to such an extent that almost 11 million more Americans voted for him this time compared to 2016. A 17% rise in people who think Donald Trump should be President of the United States. Just in case, for a brief moment, your faith in humanity was restored by the results of the election.
Yeah.
tried not to develop any impulse buying behaviour over lockdown, but I am ashamed to admit I did purchase a No Trend vinyl box set for £80, even though I already had the album Too Many Humans on vinyl. I think the only way to properly appreciate nihilistic anti-consumerist hardcore noise rock is via the medium of the overpriced vinyl box set. And I also bought the Crassical Collection CD versions of Penis Envy and Best Before 1984. Anyway, that was No Trend with Blow Dry, recorded in 1983 and dedicated presciently to Donald Trump's hair. was Lula York with LDOLS, the title track of a cassette released last year. The notes on Bandcamp reveal it was improvised in one take and recorded straight to reel-to-reel tape in a garage in Ipswich on the hottest day of 2019. LDOLS stands for the last day of little school, apparently, back at a time when kids probably looked forward to the last day of school. Not like this year, where, in the UK, we've been rehearsing for Brexit by starving our poorest children with piecemeal support for the poorest families over the COVID crisis. Though in fairness, food bank usage was increasing exponentially even before the first COVID-19 lockdown. Our home county of Suffolk proudly boasts over 40 food banks, and the Trussell Trust alone announced it has given out 1.2 million food parcels nationally from the 1st of April to the 30th of September. But help was at hand in October in the form of international aid. The Akshaya Patra Foundation, a child poverty charity based in India, began to deliver food aid to hungry families in Watford to help alleviate the UK's famine. And in December, UNICEF announced it would be providing humanitarian aid in the UK for the first time in its 70-year history, providing breakfast to kids over the Christmas holiday and the February half term. Tory Minister Jacob Rees-Mogg described the UNICEF plan to feed hungry children as a political stunt and said, quote, UNICEF should be ashamed of itself. In fairness to him, no one likes fat kids. Huffing and puffing up those ladders, getting stuck in the chimney. And the government has already spent £522 million paying for free food for the people of Great Britain over the summer on the Eat Out to Help Out scheme. If those kids were really hungry, they could have nipped out for a half-price beluga caviar omelette at the Ritz, or taken a friend and split the bill. Bye. was Simba with Cosseat, which, as every French classical scholar knows, is French for cocytus, a river in hell formed from the tears of those guilty of hubris. That was dedicated to Matt Hancock. That slab of desolate Game Boy techno was from the Ubold Dur 12-inch, released by Nanoloop Techno Resistance in 2016. The track was created by synchronising four Nintendo Game Boy Advances running Nanoloop and recording directly to tape with no post-editing. Simba is Tom Sherlock, better known around these parts as Henry Homesweet, and Jules Concas, who is or was Je Deviens DJ en Toiture. Apologies for the pronunciation. Tom's been unusually active recently, releasing music under a variety of aliases through his pen name label. You can pick up the pen name digital catalogue ridiculously cheaply on Bandcamp, as I did on the last Bandcamp Friday. But anyway, let's not lose sight of who the real victims were in 2020. It wasn't school kids trading their free school meal vouchers for cash so their parents can spend it in a crack den or a brothel, as Tory MP Ben Bradley would have you believe in his taken totally out of context tweet on Twitter, which said exactly that. And it's not the 8 million families struggling to put food on the table in a country with the sixth largest economy in the world. And it's certainly not those fat kids stuck in Jacob Rees-Mogg's chimney. I mean an actual chimney in his home in Somerset. It wasn't a euphemism for a sex act gone wrong. Anyway, no, the real victims here are the Tory MPs themselves, who've been on the receiving end of abusive tweets because Labour Deputy Leader Angela Rayner called Chris Clarkson scum under her breath in the Commons. Scientists were left using electron microscopy to locate the world's smallest violin in response to the wounded Tory's very public victimhood. And hundreds of Twitter users tried to help these Tory MPs out by explaining that they were scum because they voted against the extension of free school meals. But they were having none of it. It was all Labour's fault. Again. But in a surprise U-turn, after proving to the world of Twitter and the world at large that they are all scum, Boris and his cabinet finally bowed to public pressure and approved the money for the Winter Support Fund.
A neighbour accused me of larceny. My poor dad to the jail delivered me. All this over a hen and her eggs. I wish I'd never mislaid them. He walked me as far as the guard post. It was the first time he'd ever hugged me. Be a man and just keep your head down. You've got to let go of me now. I was placed in chains. My legs gave out. My legs gave out. The jailer picked me up. He slapped my face and helped me walk the stair. When first I went in the dungeon, I was surrounded by silhouettes. My nostrils met with the most ungodly stink. I fainted at the sheer taste of it. I came around to discover my feet were unshod and my scarf bestole. An old crone hissed through a gum full of pus. That's garnish, lad, and pay you must. I curled into a ball to hide my tears, to hide my tears. Then began to shake, before I realized I'd lost control. From every side there rung laughter. The calf was lamed and the wolves were circling. At first bite, I leapt from the floor and cracked a shadow in the jaw. There rose a voice from the gloomy depths. Silence your wagging and give the boy a rest. Mark these words, keep your devils locked within, for I'll castrate the one that goes to him. I was left alone to find my own few inches of damp stone. Gave myself to sleep, and when I awoke, the world was still rolling away. In cold light of day, I surveyed the scene, a squalor more baleful than I had ever seen. Ageless bone bags agog in their own mess, bodies maggot riddled at caress. My unofficial protector showed me the rudiments of gambling with pebbles, and taught me the names of the birds, trees, and flowers, and shared his warmth through evil hour. I remember you, whoever you are, whoever you are. I'll hold you in my heart and never forget the part you played in my story. This morning they put me in the pillory. Who should appear but the very same neighbour that fingered me? She climbs the stage and lifts a jug of water to my lips, then walks me back home to my father. It hasn't been very easy to sing you this song, though I did my best. And now we are reaching the end of my refrain. Listen, we can start again.
Richard Dawson with Felon from his Republic of Geordieland lockdown album, available digitally from Bandcamp. It would have been more obvious to have played something from his 2020 album, entitled 2020. But we're not looking back at 2020 in this episode, we're looking forward to 2021, and I thought a track about stealing food to survive was more appropriate. I was pleased to see our local MP Tom Hunt of the Cross Party Education Committee take a principled stand against the extension of free school meals on the 22nd of October. However, I was disappointed to see many of the responses to his position brought up the entirely irrelevant issue of the heavily subsidised food and alcohol he and other MPs enjoy at Westminster. Firstly, as the parliamentary website is keen to point out, food and alcohol at the House of Commons are not subsidised, in the traditional way. Independent companies cater for MPs and their guests, selling them food and alcohol at prices so low the companies are unable to cover their operating costs. Then the taxpayer makes up the deficit. £4.4 million in 2018, according to a Freedom of Information request. So MPs get discounted food and booze, and we pay £4.5 million a year to make up the difference. Technically, this is not a subsidy. Secondly, how does anyone expect an MP to pay more than £9 for a char-grilled ribeye steak with hand-cut chips on a basic salary of £80,000, plus expenses? It's madness. So I've contacted Marcus Rashford to ask him to be the public face of a campaign to extend the subsidised meals that MPs enjoy at Westminster so they cover the Christmas holidays. Because like you, I'm worried about how they're going to cope during the parliamentary recess if they have to pay the full cost of food and alcohol after Parliament shuts on the 20th of December. I'm particularly worried about MPs like our Tom Hunt of the Countryside Alliance, having to microwave a baked potato for his Christmas dinner, all alone in his new house in Ipswich, or maybe all alone in his even newer flat in Westminster, the one with the rent, council tax and utilities paid for by you, the taxpayer. Because obviously the direct train link from Ipswich to London makes it an impossible commute, taking well over an hour. I don't want to think of Tom Hunt, comedy-loving immigrant Tom Hunt, etc., etc., sitting there alone, staring at his cold, wrinkly microwave baked potato, feeling sad, looking at his mobile phone, the special one for MPs, checking to see if Jacob Rees-Mogg has sent him a Christmas message. Oh, fuck it. If you want to know what I think of Tom Hunt, just listen to the last episode of the podcast.
Thank you. promise to all them that seek thy kingdom and the righteousness thereof, all things necessary to their bodily sustenance. Send us, we beseech thee, in this our necessity, such moderate rain and showers, that we may receive the fruits of the earth to our comfort and to thy honour. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Rev Simpkins with Prayer for Rain, taken from How the End Always Is, a charity fundraising compilation album of cover versions of songs by The Cure, released by Essex label Hyperstatic Union. Described as an unofficial tribute, which I guess means no one licensed the songs, with all of Robert Smith's PRS royalties going to Cat's Protection, whether he likes it or not. Well, he does love cats. Sorry. How the End Always is available on double cassette and digital download via the Hyperstatic Union Bandcamp page. Hopefully Matt's still around to listen to this podcast after the government issued guidance in October allowing people with confirmed COVID-19 or symptoms to attend funerals, presumably as part of a rescue package for the Church of England to help them drum up new business for their funeral services. Rev Simpkins has created his own four-part podcast, which you can find on reputable podcast channels away from the Mixcloud ghetto that we're consigned to. Matt advertises this podcast as containing explicit Christian content. I was, however, very disappointed to discover this did not mean what I thought it did. I don't do edgy observational comedy, so I'm going to skip the next bit. It's all about the Pride of Britain Awards for Bravery and Kids with Leukemia. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to talk about real bravery. Acts of fearless courage by people in jobs that normally require no courage, conviction, or any moral fibre whatsoever. People in jobs that can be carried out by spineless, snivelling little shits who then choose to do something really brave, even though they don't have to. People like Health Secretary Matt Hancock, when he defended spending over £43,000 on takeaway food in 1 month earlier this year. It was for his staff, over nine evenings, in April 2020, from what the Daily Mail describes as the fashionable Filipino-inspired restaurant, Bong Bong's Manila Canteen. That's according to spending data from an FOI request made by the Mail and the Taxpayers Alliance. That figure was over 10 times the comparatively frugal £4,000 he spent on takeaways in March. He told Sky News, "When people are working 18 hours a day in the middle of a pandemic, of course I'm going to feed them. It's possibly the best value food you can get in terms of allowing people working so hard to tackle this virus." But let's not get too critical. The West Suffolk MP hasn't paid full price for a meal at the Commons since 2010, so he may have innocently assumed that a 50 grand bill for 10 takeaways is normal out in the real world.
Liar, sadly, sight, while I was young, but then I got fit, now I'm weak at the knee.
the Australian band, with Shit Future from their split 7-inch with Party Dozen on Grupo Records. The sleeve notes declare that song was recorded on the stolen land of the Cadigal-Wangal people of the Eora Nation, which was and always will be Aboriginal land. I picked that up last year after hearing it on Saffman's In Memory of John Peel show, and it became my anthem for 2020. But it's not all shit. I want to end this podcast on an uplifting note. The pandemic has brought unexpected joy to some people. The Sunday Times reported on the 29th of November that former Tory councillor Steve Deacon, who bought a country estate after being awarded £276 million in government contracts for PPE, has added a holiday home and a house for his parents to his property portfolio. This is a rags-to-riches story for Steve, whose company, Platform 14, was being run so competently it made a £500,000 loss in 2019. But, thanks to a £120 million government contract to supply masks in March, followed by another contract in June worth £156 million, he was able to turn around his failing company and he'll now be able to afford mince pies for Christmas after all. Neither contract was put out to competitive tender, but that's okay now in the UK. The Coronavirus Act of 2020 made that legal. Steve's surprise turnaround in fortunes has enabled him to buy a £1.5 million Grade 2 listed property in the Cotswolds and pay himself £500,000 from the profits. Which is exactly what I was going to do, until I realised that I work for a local authority and the government is planning to freeze my pay to save the economy. Did I mention that he's a former Tory councillor? I know I did. But it's not just Steve who's had good news in the pandemic. In October, Kent and Medway Clinical Commissioning Group polled staff to find out what a, quote, genuine and heartfelt thank you should look like. It didn't look like a £1.5 million Grade 2 listed building in the Cotswolds, or a £500,000 bonus. Instead, frontline NHS workers were offered a choice of a snack box or a badge. Snack box or a badge, not both, cheeky c**t. Proving, I guess, that risking your life treating people with COVID is its own reward. So, in the same spirit of generosity as Kent and Medway CCG, I give you, the listener, one final parting present to acknowledge your patience and perseverance with the podcast over 2020. It's the gift of a track from the Antigen Christmas album. This is Seth with Storing Decorations. Join me again on the other side.
Watch the night sky fall.